what? The conflict of, okay, faith and law, that's one. Circumcision and uncircumcision is another. Flesh and spirit has just recently come in. What other conflicts has Paul been talking about? Can you think of any? Doing good and being evil to men? Isn't that what he's talking, what he has been talking about as well? Whenever we talk about the way that the Gentile brethren were treated, that's one of the things that Paul really gets down to is the way we treat each other is very important. You know, sometimes whenever we look at the relationship between Jew and Gentile in other passages, what is it described as? These two people were what? Enemies. They were against each other, weren't they? They were against each other, you know, physically. They were against each other spiritually. They were against each other in even their social mannerisms. In fact, you know, we even talk about things like the Samaritan woman that Jesus spoke with at the well, and the fact that it was very unusual for a Jew at that time to even go through that part of the country. Okay, I mean the antagonism that existed, I don't think we really understand, at least in this context. But here he says, and let the one, and I do want to emphasize and, okay, this is a conjunction that brings two things together. And I think the thing that it's bringing together is doing good with the issues of flesh and spirit. Do good to whom? And let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Somebody tell me what it means to share. Okay. Okay. All right. Anybody else? Sharing of yourself. All right. Nobody else has one. So let's look at this. It's a special application of verse 5, isn't it? Let's read back in verse 5. For each one shall bear his own load. Isn't this really just a special application of what he's teaching them a principle in verse 5? Sharing, if you will. It comes from, and I don't normally get into Greek words because I'm not Greek, but I think it's very interesting what this word is. Koinoneo, to have a share of or to fellowship. The idea is to contribute, to have fellowship with, to participate with, to share, to partake. I like the last one, to be a partner. All right? It's joint. It's the idea verse 5 is bringing out in application. Because the idea in verse 5 is we're going to, at least verse 1 through 5 actually, we're going to have the idea of bearing our own loads, but sharing loads. There are some burdens that we ourselves have to bear, and we talked about that, but there's some burdens that we ought to share with one another, isn't there? So I think what we look at here is Paul is beginning to give them some application of what he is trying to tell them in these first 5 verses. Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. So how is it intended to be understood? I really, when I was studying for this, I could only come up with two things that it could possibly be relating to. Financially, partaking in, supporting, or a spiritual partaking and supporting. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you at the onset, I personally believe this is a passage talking about the financial support of someone who teaches. But I got to tell you, the more I studied it, the more I said, you can't take the financial piece of this away without talking about the spiritual piece first or also, because they're linked. If we think, just as an editorial comment, if we think that just putting money in a plate is the extent of our sharing, we are sadly mistaken. I'll say that again. If we think putting money in the plate is the extent of this sharing, we are sadly mistaken. There is much more to do with it. Much more to do with it. Thoughts or questions before we go on from here? Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And we need to take interest in helping them as they struggle with this idea. Mm-hmm. We need to help them bear up under the load of change because
yes.
it requires a lot of us to change from one way of thinking to another way of thinking. So we need to be concerned about these brethren and help them bear that burden of change. And he could be speaking on that idea that you're responsible. In verse 5, he's saying you're responsible for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Don't let them pull you down. You take control of your own life. Stand on your own feet. You be responsible for following the Spirit. Now you look back.
Sure.
Now that you are following the Spirit, help them learn how to follow.
Yeah. We've got to first. Wow, that got a lot better. We've got to first have ourselves in control and ourselves organized and ourselves under the right mindset before we can help anybody else to do it. And I think that's a good point. Any other thoughts before we begin? Yes, sir. Yeah, don't get too far in my lesson in front of me because that's exactly where we're going. But no, it's a good point because that is, one is a reflection of the other. That's the way I look at it. Physical financial support generally tends to be a reflection of what's already in the heart, does it not? I mean, that's what he said. God loves a cheerful giver. That part of the heart is indeed reflected out in what things we do. So let's talk about this a little bit then. Financial support. Turn to Luke 10. We're just going to go through a few of these passages. Some of these are probably familiar. I believe it absolutely has application to this. Luke 10 and verse 7. The writer there says, Jesus speaking here, says, stay in that house. Whenever he sends the 70 out, he says, stay in that house, eating and drinking what they give you. For the labor is worthy of his wages. Do not keep moving from house to house. So we see Jesus really is describing this. He's letting them know that there is a valuable service being provided, and that labor is worthy of that wages. 1 Corinthians 9, 3 through 14. Would somebody like to read 3 through 14? Anyone? Okay, go ahead. Paul here is saying this is a principle that's been from the beginning. God had this principle under the old law. Excuse me. It's a principle that is a solid principle in the new law. These are things that are justifiable. To expect anything otherwise is really being unfair. It's really being what's the word I'm looking for. It's really being uninformed. The fact is that these principles existed, and it is not a principle that is just for law. In other words, it's not a law that says thou shalt. It's something that existed there in principle and exists in the new law in principle. This is something that makes sense. It is a burden that we share together. And I want to go back to that word again. It's share. It is not to do something separate, but it's shared together. We're going to go to one more. 1 Timothy 5:17. Let the elders who rule well be considered worthy of double honor, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. For the Scripture says, you shall not muzzle the ox while he is threshing, and the laborer is worthy of his wages. The fact is, the passage can very easily, and I believe in its core, is talking about financial support. But let's go a little bit farther. What it doesn't mean, and I want to explain what I mean by this. What it does not mean is employment. Okay? And here's what I mean by that. Employment, typically, is to hire somebody to do something for you. Something that you do not have the time or the organization to do yourself. Does it not? Preachers are not employees. And I'm going to put my opinion on this, but I think what we see in the Scripture is they are fellow laborers. Because to me, the idea of employment means that I'm getting him to do that for me. Okay? I'm getting him to do something that I'm not able to do. The idea of that share means we're all doing it together. Some people are devoting more of their time to doing certain things, and we are relieving the burden so that they can do it. I think that's what we're talking about here. I think we're talking about, just by the meaning of the word, if nothing else, not a status of employment as much as it is a sharing together and a task to be done. You look at Steve or at Josh and the things that they do, they are all things that all of us are capable and we ought to be able and to do. And we do from time to time. We teach, we preach from time to time. This is something that we share with them in. This is something that is not done for us. We are not spectators. We are not observing. We are involved in. We are partakers of. We ought to be a part of. Thoughts or questions or comments? Absolutely.
Our tax laws push us to want a donation benefit.
Right.
And I'm not saying that's wrong, but I'm just saying that pushes us in that direction. When the reality was, individuals in this country, they help the preacher or the teacher.
And you said that very well. That's an important part of this passage, and some people take it out of context to be a congregational activity. And whenever you look at who Paul is talking to here, he's talking to the individuals there. He is talking to individual people helping, partaking, sharing in, not the collective group. I think it's very important, and I like that analogy of the taxes because it does kind of push us to that idea that, and I'll just say it, you know, I gave in the offering plate on Sunday. I'll not have to do that. This isn't a membership we're paying for. That's a duty that each of us have, and part of that duty is to support men so that they can do it not just 5 to 9, for those of you who work 9 to 5, but so that they can have more time to devote themselves to it. It's a burden that's able to be shared, therefore it ought to be shared. And I think that's the principle he goes back to, and the reason why he uses the analogy of the ox and the threshing floor, and the laborer is worthy of his wages, is because those are things that they understood at the time. So very, very good point on that. Any other thoughts? Because to me, if we get the mindset of employment, we are taking ourselves out of the equation. We become, out here in the audience, a spectator for a sermon. Or a spectator for what's going on. I'll put in a plug. We've got group meetings. We've got different activities that we have in this congregation. Do we have the mindset of, well, I wonder what they're doing? Or do we have the mindset, I wonder what we're doing, and I need to get involved in it? Because it's not a spectator sport. Christianity is involvement. Paul here says, get involved with it. It means sharing. It's intended to be a partnership, not a one-off. So what ways do we have that we can give financial support? I promise you it's not a trick question. What ways can we give financial support? How can we be a partner in this endeavor? In our contribution. Right. In our contribution, giving generously and understanding what it's for and not misunderstanding what it's not for, then that gives us the ability to share in that burden. What's something else? Yes, ma'am. There you go. Another way we can do it is if you are able to do that, and I know some men who have performed part-time preaching for no salary because that's something that they could do to help. So that's certainly a way. Anything else? One-time gifts when the need arises. I mean, we've talked about it here the fifth Sunday. You know, that those are things that we can do. I put just a couple of these, and most of these are already down. Weekly giving and individual giving. I didn't think of the one with the individual teaching. But that's our job, is to think about ways that we can relieve the burdens of the financial side so that the Word of God can continue to be preached. Maybe it's buying some Bibles to send to someone, to some churches in Africa and South America that I've heard, or in China. I mean, there are so many things. We just need to put our mind to it and think, how can I participate in this? Now, the caution here is this. There are also ways that are not supported by Scripture. And I really didn't have time to get into this because then we would have been a long time this morning. But we've discussed them in the past. There are some ways that God does not authorize to do it. Okay? And rather than to get into those, just suffice it to say that there are ways that are authorized and are not authorized. But the liberty that we have is the ability to look at those. And within the envelope of what God gives us the authority to do, we are free to do it, right? So we need to look at it as another one of these freedoms that he's discussed. Any other thoughts before we move on? Yes, sir? It is not. You are right. And the individual has so much more flexibility in what they can do in an authorized fashion from God. And we ought to be doing. I mean, we're going to look in just a minute in the physical side of it, of the Good Samaritan. But wasn't that a physical example teaching a spiritual concept? The concept there is there's things that we can do. When we see the opportunity to do it, I believe the Scriptures makes it our obligation at that point to do it. I believe that's what the point to the Good Samaritan was. Is here you find a man that finds another man in a physical condition of need. When he found it, it then became his obligation to do something. Yes, sir. It's not disconnected. And you know, it seems like a petty thing, and I'll give you an example because I laugh about this from time to time, but it really does, to me, make the point. I have heard some people say, and if you did, I'm not accusing you of it, so please don't think that. Let's get up. We have to go to church this morning. Anybody else see a problem with that? First of all, I'm not going to church. Okay? I'm a part of that church. And that speaks to the point that you're making. We are a part of one another. But there's another part of that. Have to. Brethren, I don't have to do anything. I choose to do it. But when we get the mindset of the church, and then there's us, I think it fosters that. And I think whenever we say that, I realize that we don't mean it that way. But words are important. Concepts are there. And sometimes maybe little ears that hear us get the idea that it's something we have to do because somebody's making us. I don't have to give on Sunday. I don't have to support. I choose to do it because it's a way I can help relieve the burden so that as a group, we can do more. And we all do that. And that's what we should do. Very, very good point. So let's talk about spiritually, because we've already kind of delved into this a little bit. Romans 15, and if you haven't noticed Romans, if you don't read Romans when you read Galatians, you're missing out on a feast, because there's so much stuff there. Romans 15, 26 and 27. Would somebody like to read that? Go ahead. And go ahead and get 9:11, someone, please. 1 Corinthians 9:11. Go ahead. Great. And then back to Romans 12. And we're not going to read 3 through 21. I just want you to turn there a minute and let's talk. There is, as we spoke at the very beginning, an inherent connection between the spiritual and the physical. Okay? We've talked about flesh and spirit, and I don't want to say that they are not at enmity with one another. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But they don't have to be at enmity with one another. The point to the passage is we need to bring these in concert with one another, not in conflict with one another. The problem is that they tend to be in conflict with one another by their nature, the flesh and the spirit. Look at Romans 12. There in 3, for the grace given to me, I say to every man among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body and all the members do not have the same function, so we are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one another. So let's stop there. Going back, the connection that we just talked about, Paul talks about here. The connection between the physical and the spiritual, and the connection between members of the body of Christ. We are those members. We do not have members that are outside of that body. If we are a member of the body, we are a member of the body. It's not something that's disconnected, right? And so he goes on in verse 9 and says, "Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in the Spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer, contributing to the needs of the saints, practicing hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and curse not." Let's stop there. We get the idea of a people who are unified in what they're doing. We get the idea of a people who care about one another, who see to one another's needs. And I think we talked about this in the last lesson, that those are things that cannot occur without us having a mutual understanding of not only getting to know one another, but getting to know one another on the level where we can actively participate in these things. Okay? If you are disconnecting yourself from that, you are disconnecting yourself from a major part of, whenever we turn back to Galatians 6, and I'll just turn real quick, "Let the one who is taught share all good things." Because we even haven't even talked about what the good things are yet. We've kind of looked at it a little bit from the financial part, but think about it from the spiritual side. What are you losing out? Here's a phrase that I've heard before, and maybe, or a question, and maybe you've had someone ask you this question. Maybe you've asked the question, "Do I have to go to church to be pleasing to God? Do I have to go to church to be pleasing to God?" There's that "have to" again, right? What's the answer to that, according to this? What do you mean, what do you have to? You're a part of it. You know, I've heard the question, "Do I have to go on Wednesday night, or am I sinning?" I'm not going to answer that yes or no, and I don't think Paul does here. But Paul says, look at what you're missing. Okay, let's focus on what we're missing when we don't do it. Okay, and I know we beat up attendance a lot. I get that. But I think that it does present a point. How can you be a part of these things and share in these good things when you're not even present to be able to? Now, that begs one other thing. What we do here is not limited to what happens in this building, and I get that. I don't want to give that impression either. But it's a part of it. It's a part of the all good things, isn't it? What are we missing when we do it? Let's read a little bit further. "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another, and do not be haughty in mind, but associate with the lowly. Do not be wise in your own estimation." Skip on down. Look at verse 21. "Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good." This really is a parallel passage to what we're talking about here in Galatians and have been talking about, is that the issue between evil and good, the issue of sharing in one another, the issue of being a family of God, a body of Christ, the words that are being used. And I'm going to add this in here too. It doesn't mean there are classes within the congregation either. There's not a clergy laity that exists. And what I mean by that is there's not the teachers and the preachers and the elders and the regular old members. Are there? That's really not what he's talking about either. In fact, he's really breaking down those barriers and saying we are one with one another. Sharing means participating. Remember, that's one of those words we used. Participating, being a participant. It is not a spectator sport. I can't say that enough for me, because I tend, I think we do in general, when we sit as we do, we tend to forget that at times. We look and observe what's happening and don't realize sometimes that we are a part of that. Thoughts or comments or questions or complaints? Yes, sir. Right. differences. Right. And Micah, that's the reason why, to me, I pulled in that verse 3 in Romans 12, verse 4. For though as we have many members in one body, all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ. I'm also not saying that there aren't different functions, because there are. But we're all one body in Christ. We are not separated. Yes, sir. Exactly. Yep. And I believe you're absolutely right. It's a symptom of a bigger problem. So we got to dig into what the problem is, because there's a problem there. If you don't even want to be around your family, there's probably a problem there. So we need to address that first. Could be. Be careful a lot of times when those things happen that we don't already know what we want to do and we're just trying to fit God's word into our plan, because that tends to be where that goes. I'm not saying all the time, but it tends to be we've already figured out what it is that we want to do and nobody else agrees with us, so I'm going to start skewing the issue until I can get it there. But that's a very good point. What ways can we give spiritual support? I listed three. There's probably tons more. Participation in worship. Participation in worship. And I'm not talking about getting up here. We can all participate in whatever way, actively. If it's nothing else than turning the cell phone off and paying attention to what's going on around us. Okay? If it's nothing more than singing. If it's nothing more than actively praying with the person who is praying. There's ways to do that that keeps our mind and body into the auditing the teaching, opening the Bible and reading along when teaching is done to make sure. The Bereans were given a lot of kudos for that. They searched the Scriptures daily. We don't take what is said at face value. We confirm, we audit, we make sure those things are right. Because in the end, God's not going to ask Michael why I listened to what Josh or Steve or anyone else said. He's going to ask Michael, why did you do it? And here's the most important one, and we didn't get nearly as far as I wanted to. Living what is taught. One way we can actively participate and give spiritual support is in our day-to-day lives. And how does that affect spiritual support? Because that gives the basis so that whenever we come together, we have a firm foundation and a firm grounding. Those are several ways that we can give spiritual support. So we got through one verse. No worries. We're going to start in verse 7, and we'll begin and finish up through verse 18, I promise you, on Wednesday night. Thank you for the comments.